Hare Krishna. So we are discussing about Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Krishna Samhita. As I mentioned yesterday, this book by Bhakti Vinod Thakur has 10 chapters. Yesterday we briefly discussed about the first 3 chapters. Those 3 chapters, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in those first 3 chapters, in order to establish the supremacy of the Vedic culture and in order to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhakti Vinod Thakur first defeated the misconceptions that have been established by the British during those times. I quite extensively discussed about how the British tried to undermine the supremacy of Vedic culture. Rather, they minimized the Vedic culture in whichever way they could. They tried to make us believe that India is not really that civilized. India, whatever civilization India had, was very recent, and the Aryans, who had actually brought civilization to India, they came from some other country, preferably they would like to say from Europe, and so forth. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur just smashed them. He completely defeated those misconceptions and established the proper understanding. And so first thing that we, the followers of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should try to do first is get rid of all the misconceptions that have been injected in our mind by the British. And one of the big misconceptions is that the Britishers made us believe that the Vedic scriptures are mythology. Vedic scriptures are fictitious. They are not real. They are just some stories, fairy tales. No, the Vedic scriptures are dealing with the absolute truth. Not a single word in the Vedic scriptures, not a single sentence in the Vedic scriptures is untruth. Everything that has been presented in the Vedic scriptures are the truth and nothing but the truth. And not only is the truth, it's actually the absolute truth. Vedic scriptures are dealing with the spiritual reality. Vedic scriptures are taking us out of this material nature into the spiritual realm. With that understanding, we must approach the Vedic scriptures. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not just a fictitious, fictional character. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the supreme proprietor, he is the supreme creator, he is the supreme maintainer. And he incarnates in order to re-establish dharma from time to time. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami jivehi. And Krishna has revealed his identity through Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita he told through Arjuna, he is telling us who he is. So these understandings we must have very, very clearly established in our mind. Whatever has been presented in the Vedic scripture is real. There is a reality beyond this material nature. This material nature is not everything. Beyond this material nature, there is a spiritual reality. Beyond this body, beyond matter, we have spirit soul. Beyond this matter, in this body, we have a spirit soul. It is the spirit soul that is our real identity. The spirit soul is the actual self, and the spirit soul is the source of consciousness. This spirit soul is eternal, spirit soul is immortal, and it is the spirit soul's presence in the body that the body becomes alive. Now these are very basic understanding. These are the alphabets of the spiritual science. But we can, if we think about it, we see that we have been so badly conditioned, we have been so badly misled, that we find it difficult to believe that. We find it difficult to believe that we are a spirit soul. We tend to think that we are this body, and when something happens to the body, that is the reality. And when the body dies, everything is finished. No, we have to transcend this misconception. We have to overcome these misconceptions and come to the understanding, proper understanding. And then we have to recognize that the spirit soul comes from the spiritual reality. In this way, we have to understand that beyond this material nature, there is a spiritual reality. And this material nature is only a perverted reflection of that spiritual sky. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur established that the spiritual sky has got three sections, three regions. One is the boundary of the spiritual sky, spiritual world. The boundary of the spiritual world is Brahma Jyoti, impersonal Brahman effulgence. Then there is the region where Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna predominates, surrounded by his devotees, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Narayana. That region is Vaikuntha. And beyond that region, there is another region where Krishna is displaying his sweetness. There, in order to display his sweetness, Krishna is not acting as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There he is the object of love. And in loving relationship we forget the identity or the position of the person. When we are in love with somebody, we don't consider whether he is rich or poor, whether he is big or small. When we love somebody, then that of the person of or the object of love becomes the only concern for us. Like a mother, even though the child may be deformed, the child may be very ugly, but does it care to the mother? No. The mother has a love for the child. So that is the sign of love. Love doesn't consider whether the person is big or small, or famous or infamous, or so forth. So that region where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the object of love, and there is an unalloyed loving relationship and loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees, that region is Golok Vrindavan. And in Golok Vrindavan, Krishna performs his pastimes in a most wonderful way. Those pastimes are unique. Those pastimes Krishna doesn't display anywhere else. But a nice thing about those pastimes is that those pastimes are very much like the activities on this earth planet. In that region, the Lord looks like a human being. Nara Gopu. His form is like Nara. Nara means human being. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Golok Vrindavan is like a human being. Whereas in Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifest in his four-armed form. There he is not two-armed. There he is four-armed. And there he is displaying his opulence. What is the opulence? The opulence is that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller. He is the Supreme Worshipable Lord. But in Vrindavan, he is different. In Vrindavan, he is just a human being, like a human being. Actually, the reality is the material nature is a reflection of the spiritual nature, spiritual sky. So, in the reflection, what do we see? In the reflection, everything seems to be upside down. So, in the reflection, the bottom part is the highest. And the topmost part is the lowest. So, when you consider the reflection of the spiritual nature in the material nature, then the impersonal Brahman is reflected as the topmost concept of the material nature. Then beyond that is the reflection of Vaikuntha. What is the reflection of Vaikuntha? The reflection of Vaikuntha is the heavenly planets, heaven. Now you can also consider, in Vaikuntha the Lord is present in his forearm form, right? And how do the heavenly planet, the residents of heavenly planet look like? How many arms do they have? How many arms Ganesha has? Four. How many arms Saraswati has? How many arms Lakshmi has? So the demigods are four arms, often. But then the reflection of the topmost region, what is the topmost region of the spiritual sky? Golok Vrindavan. And what is the top reflection of that region? Is the earth planet. In the material nature, the earth planet is below, then the heavenly planets, then the impersonal Brahman realization. But in the spiritual nature, Brahma Jyoti is the lowest region. The boundary, not even the spiritual world. It is the boundary. And then Vaikuntha. And then Golok Vrindavan. Goloko namni nijadhamni talecha tasya Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu. Devidham is this material nature. Then beyond the Devidham, beyond this material nature, is the domain of Lord Shiva, Mahesha. Devi, Mahesha. Then beyond that is Haridham, Vaikuntha. But they are gradually below this material nature. So, in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly established the relation that beyond this material nature is the spiritual reality, and this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual sky. Yesterday we also discussed how Bhaktivinoda Thakur smashed this British concept. Actually, this morning I was thinking about that. I'll just explain. Like, the Britishers, they came up with this theory of Darwin's theory of organic evolution. What is the organic evolution? From matter came life. The matter gradually evolved into life. And then life developed, became more and more developed. And then finally it became human beings. And they were pointing out, they were saying that this Dasavatara Stotram, not they themselves, but through a bunch of Indians who was their paid agents, who had been recognized as big, big historians and big, big scholars. But they were actually the British agents. Maybe unknowingly they did that, but the reality is they became the agents of British and they destroyed the Vedic culture. They destroyed the respect for the Indians for Vedic cultures. Now through them, what they pointed out? Oh, see, even Dasavatara Stotram is accepting that. The first is fish. The first evolution was fish, aquatics. And then they imagined that God was an aquatic. Then it became a half aquatic, half amphibious. That is a tortoise. So Lord became, God became incarnated as tortoise. And then after tortoise is Varaha incarnation. So Varaha, he is a boar, animal. Then half man, half lion. When they became not quite human beings, so that is Nrisimha. Then uncivilized human being, incarnation is Parashuram. Then civilized incarnation, Ramchandra, and so forth. So I was, actually this morning it just occurred to me, I was thinking about it, and I thought that at least they have to admit that before they came up with the theory of organic evolution, it was understood in India. So organic evolution is not Darwin's theory of organic evolution. Darwin borrowed it from India. So they can't take the credit even for that. But anyway, we should not be befooled by them. If somebody comes and tries to forget our heritage, if somebody comes and leads us to disrespect our own glory, will that be proper? No. Therefore, first thing is that we must recognize that the Vedic culture is the most profound human culture in this world. The Vedic scriptures are the source of absolute wisdom. With that understanding, we must approach them. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes one very beautiful point. He is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Spiritual Personality. And the living entities, the jivas, are the minute atomic spiritual sparks. Like the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir, the ultimate reservoir, and the living entities are like drops. The Supreme Personality of the Godhead is the source of light, and the living entities are a ray of light. Therefore, qualitatively, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities are one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda. He is the absolute eternity, knowledge and bliss. And the living entities are also Satchidananda. Only difference is that these living entities are just atomic parts and parcels, that Supreme Law. But qualitatively they are one. So Krishna's pastimes are also reflected on the living entities. Or Krishna's pastimes also is in the living entities. Whatever Krishna is doing in Vrindavan also happening in the minds of the living entities when they take to spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentioned Onner Hridayamon Mormon Vrindavan. Identifying himself as a devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that what is mind of others, my mind is Vrindavan. So if my mind is Vrindavan, then Krishna's pastimes are also taking place in Vrindavan. In my mind, it is happening, right? Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very wonderfully presenting different aspects of Krishna's pastimes in and how they are related to us, to our mind, our consciousness, and how they react to our spiritual progress. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, for example, Krishna is born out of Vasudev and Devaki. Now, this is also is clear to us. Who is Vasudev or what is Vasudev? Vasudev is pure goodness, Shuddha Shatva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaktitam. The Vishuddha Shatva is known as Vasudev. Who is Vasudev? Vasudev is Krishna's father. And Devaki is mind. So when the pure goodness influences our mind, then Krishna appears in the mind. And that is devotional service. Devotional service means we become transcendental to mode of goodness and mode of passion and ignorance. Transcend the material modes. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobha dayascha je cheto etoir anavidham sthitam satya prasidati. When the mode of goodness becomes, when you become situated in the mode of goodness, transcending the mode of passion and ignorance, then only we develop devotional service. So in order to become a devotee, we have to transcend the mode of all the material modes, including even mode of goodness of this material nature, which is tinged with passion and ignorance. Material goodness, in the material nature also there is goodness. We know there are three modes. What are those three modes? Ignorance, passion and goodness. So there is goodness in the material nature, but this goodness is not pure goodness. It is impure goodness. Why? Because they are tinged, that goodness is tinged with passion and ignorance. The real goodness, the transcendental goodness or pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, exists in the spiritual nature. And that is called Vasudev. And who is Vasudev? Vasudev is the father of Krishna, who is the personification of mode of pure goodness. And Devaki is the mind. So when pure goodness prevails in the mind, that is, when does pure goodness prevail in the mind? Through devotional service. When does Krishna appear in our heart? Through devotional service. We become, when we become devotees of Krishna, then only we become situated in the mode of goodness. But before Krishna is born, came Baladev. Now, before that, six children were born. Now, unfortunately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur just mentioned two of them. Who are those six? He just mentioned Kirti and Josh. Kirti and Yash. Kirti is fame and glory. Fame and glory. Kirti and Josh. So these are the two, but he didn't mention the other four. And I didn't have enough time to make a research and find out who are those six. And before pure devotion comes, when we develop devotion, they come. But we have to overcome them. Therefore, and who is Kamsa? Kamsa is atheism personified. Who doesn't want to accept God, who wants to kill God. So that is Kamsa. So after that comes Baladev. Who is Baladev? Baladev is pure Jiva Tattva. pure living entity. Now, when he came, Baladeva appeared from the prison of Kamsa, he was transferred to Vrindavan. And what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is the land of faith. Braja or Vrindavan is the abode of faith. There in Vrindavan everyone has the absolute pure faith in the Supreme Personality of God. So Vasudev is Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Devaki is mind. Kamsa is atheism. Baladev is pure spirit soul, pure jiva tattva. Braja is abode of faith, land of faith. And Rohini is the faithful heart, the heart that is full of faith. So Balaram was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And then Krishna came. So after the appearance of pure awareness of soul, after the appearance of pure awareness of the soul, the awareness of God appears, the awareness of Krishna. So first we recognize that we are pure spirit soul, and then we recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as we consider that we are our bodies, can we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. So in order to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to recognize our identity as well. So Krishna I'm reading from Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada, which is the 10th canto, translation of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna's pastimes. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord, situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudeva, is not different from the original form of Krishna. The form of the Lord, situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudeva, is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere and specifically within the heart is called Dham. Dham refers not only to Krishna's form but also to his name, his qualities and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. When Krishna appears along with Krishna, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's abode, Krishna's devotees, associates, all become simultaneously manifest. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva without being subject to any of the conditions of an ordinary living entity. Generally, the ordinary living entity's birth takes place due to the copulation between husband and wife, man and woman. Through semen, the spirit soul is transmitted to the womb of the mother, and there the womb becomes impregnated, the ova or the egg becomes impregnated by the soul or sperm, and that's how the body develops. But that is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was transferred from Vasudeva's heart to Devaki's heart, or Vasudeva's mind to Devaki's mind. And that's how she conceived the Supreme Personality of God. In this respect, we can also consider it has been mentioned that Jesus was born out of a virgin. Mary was a virgin. So here also we see the similar concept, that his appearance in the womb of Mary was not due to seminal discharge, but transferring from the heart of the father to the heart of the mother. So this is how Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki. If someone takes advantage of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, the material contamination of dust accumulated in the heart due to long association with material nature can be immediately cleansed. If we listen to the pastimes of the Lord with faith, when we listen to the pastimes of the Lord with faith, then all our material contaminations will be cleansed from our heart. Our heart will become purified. So that is why it is so important that we hear Krishna Katha, Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's instructions. The Lord, out of His causeless mercy, descends to this material world and displays His activities just like an ordinary man. So that is the wonderful thing about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Specifically, Krishna, when He descends to this material nature, it appears that His activities are ordinary, but still there is unusual, uncommon activities are always displayed. Like for example, Vamanadeva appeared like a little dwarf. But how uncommon was his activity? Although appeared as a dwarf, he just with one step, he covered the entire universe. So that is how unusual, uncommon his activities are. But he, out of his causeless mercy, descends to this world and displays his activities just like an ordinary man. Unfortunately, the impersonalists on the atheist class of men consider Krishna to be an ordinary man, just like themselves, and they deride him. Avajananti mang mudha manusim tanumashritam. Avajananti mang mudha. The mudha. Mudha means stupids. Those who are devoid of intelligence. They deride him, thinking, oh, he is an ordinary person. And what is their understanding? Their understanding is everyone is God. This mudha, they think I am God, you are God, everybody is God, only God is not God. That's why they are mudha. So, when Krishna was born, then Kamsa tried to kill him. Kamsa already got to know that Krishna would kill him. Now who destroys atheism? Who is the killer of atheism? Killer of atheism is God himself. Only when God appears, then is there any room for atheism? No. The forecast was there. God will come. Kamsa, you personified atheism, you're finished. So that was the forecast. When the arrangement was being made, when Devaki and Vasudeva were getting married, that forecast was made. Now, the atheist, who doesn't have any information about the spiritual world, and who think this material nature is everything, they think that when they die, everything will be finished. That is the difference between a theist and an atheist. A theist knows, because he knows God, he knows that he is a part and parcel of God, and he is a spirit soul, and he is eternal. He knows that he is a soul. Once I remember, one cobbler, while he was repairing my shoes in Calcutta, he was telling me how God is there, and even a cobbler knows about God in India. That is the glory of India's culture. In India, even a cobbler knows about God, he knows that he is a spirit soul, he knows that the spirit soul is eternal, he knows the karmic reactions. If you act in a wrong way, then you will suffer. If you act in a good way, you will enjoy. Therefore, don't act in a wrong way. Like he had that knowledge. Probably he doesn't even spell his own name, but he has this knowledge. That is India. So those who are believers, those who believe in the spiritual nature, those who believe in God, they also know that the soul is immortal. The soul will not die. Therefore, they are not afraid of death. They are not afraid of death. Prabhupada mentioned one thing once, that there was a big famine in 1942, again created by the British. British wanted to recruit Indians to fight the battle for them, the Second World War. But the Indians were not joining the army. So what they did, they created a famine. They burnt all the crops all over the country, and there was no food. And they said, you join the army, we'll give you food. So at that time, there was a big scarcity of food. Many people died due to the famine. But Prabhupada said, but there was not a single incident of looting or stealing. They would die, but they would not loot their shop. Or they would not steal from. They would rather die. Why? Because they know that if you stole, it is a sinful act. And as a result of the sinful act, they will be punished. They will suffer. So this is how this glorious country used to be. So let us bring back the glory of this country by spreading this wisdom of the Vedas all over the world. Kamsa knew that Kamsa got to know that he'll die. He'll be killed. And because he didn't have any information about the spiritual life, he became afraid. A person who doesn't have information about spiritual life, what happens? He becomes extremely afraid of death, because he thinks by in death everything will be finished. So his thing, his philosophy is, I do not want to die in this beautiful world. So that is their philosophy. So Kamsa also thought, I do not want to die in this beautiful world. So what do? So kill the person who wants to kill me. When? Kill him just as soon as he is born. Or even don't take a chance, kill his mother so that he cannot take birth. So this is how the atheists try to secure their situation in this world. But Vasudev advised Kamsa, don't worry, I'll bring the children as soon as they're born, I'll bring them to you. Don't unnecessarily kill a woman, because you are a great hero. If you kill a woman, your reputation will be spoiled. You're known everywhere as a great hero, Kamsa. And a hero knows how to respect a woman. What to speak of killing a woman. What will happen to your reputation. So don't kill her, but I will bring the children as they are born and I will bring them to you, and then you can decide what you want to do. And as you all know, what Kamsa did, he killed one after another newborn babies. Then Baladev was born as the seventh child of Devaki. Baladevki appeared as the seventh issue, and then he was transferred to the womb of Rohini in Vrindavan. And then Krishna came. Krishna appeared. And but as soon as Krishna was born, Kamsa actually thought that it was a baby girl that was born. Kamsa tried to kill that baby girl. Kamsa tried to kill that baby girl. And what did the baby girl do? Could Kamsa kill? Who was that baby girl? Yogamaya. Mahamaya. Slipped out of Kamsa's hand. Just a baby. Kamsa was trying to smash that baby on the stone floor of the prison. But the baby slipped out of his hand, went up in the sky and assumed her eight-armed form. And she laughed. That made Kamsa's heart tremble with fear. And she declared, Kamsa, do you think that he'll ever be able to kill me? Rather, the one who is going to kill you, he has already appeared. And he is growing in Gokula. So watch out. So Kamsa got the news that somehow the child has been transferred to Gokul. And he is growing there. So Kamsa said, okay, don't take any chance. Kill all the babies born within 7 days. There's no way of knowing when exactly he was born. So just kill all the baby, newborn babies. And Kamsa appointed Putana to do that job. And who was Putana? Putana was a witch who was very expert in killing babies. Balaghatini. One who is expert in killing babies. And what did Putana do? Being ordered by Kamsa, these witches and demons and demonesses, they have mystic power. They perform mystic yoga and they assume mystic power. And with their mystic power, they can assume any kind of form they want. That's what we will see in Krishna's pastimes. Different demons are assuming different forms. So Putana came. Putana got the news that Nanda Maharaj got a son. So Putana decided, okay, let's kill that son. So Putana came to the house of Nanda Maharaj, appearing to be an extremely beautiful woman. Let me just read that part from Krishna book. Putana entered the county of Gokul, the residential quarter of Nanda Maharaj, without permission. Dressing herself just like a beautiful woman, She entered the house of Mother Yashoda. She appeared very beautiful with raised hips, nicely swollen breasts, earrings and flowers in her hair. She looked especially beautiful on account of her thin waist. She was glancing at everyone with very attractive looks and smiling face, and all the residents of Vrindavan were captivated. The innocent cowherd women thought that she was the goddess of fortune appearing in Vrindavan with a lotus flower in her hand. It seemed to them that she had personally come to see Krishna, who is her husband. Because of her exquisite beauty, no one checked her movement, and therefore she freely entered the house of Nanda Maharaj. Putana, the killer of many children, found baby Krishna lying on a small bed, and she could at once perceive that the baby was hiding his unparalleled potencies, which resembled fire covered by ashes. Putana thought, "This child is so powerful that he can destroy the whole universe immediately." So Putana, just by seeing Krishna, could see that something is unusual about this child. He is an extremely potent personality. He can kill the entire universe in a moment. So some clarity of perception Putana had in this way. After all, Putana also is not an ordinary personality. She got a chance to enter into Krishna's pastimes. So we have to understand that Putana was not an ordinary person. And we also know who was Putana. Do you know who Putana was? No, wife of Bali Maharaj. Her name was Vindavali. When she saw Bamandev, she felt such motherly affection for this little boy that she wished that this boy was her own son, and then she would have breastfed this boy. But then when Bamandev deceived Bali Maharaj, then Putana desired that, yes, I would have breastfed him, but I would have fed him poison and killed him. So as she desired, Krishna fulfilled the desire. So in the next life, she came to breastfeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to kill him with poison. But can anyone kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Let's see what happens when somebody tries to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Putana's understanding is very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is situated in everyone's heart. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he gives one necessary intelligence, and he also causes one to forget. Then Putana, Krishna showed the nature of a small baby and closed his eyes as if to avoid the face of Putana. The closing of the eyes is interpreted and studied in different ways by the devotees. Some say that Krishna closed his eyes because he did not like to see the face of Putana, who had killed so many children and who had now come to kill him. Others say that Putana hesitated to take the baby on her lap because something extraordinary was being dictated to her from within. And in order to give her assurance, Krishna closed his eyes so that she would not be frightened. And yet others interpret that In this, the Krishna appeared in order to kill the demons and give protection to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The first demon to be killed was a woman. According to Vedic rules, the killing of a woman, a brahmana, cow or child is strictly forbidden. Krishna was obliged to kill the demon Putana, and because killing of a woman is forbidden according to the Vedic Shastra, he could not help but close his eyes. When Putana was taking baby Krishna on her lap, both Jashoda and Rohini were present. But because she was so beautifully dressed and shows motherly affection towards Krishna, they did not forbid her. They could not understand that she was a sword within a decorated case. Putana had smeared a very powerful poison on her breast, and immediately after taking the baby on her lap, she pushed her breastly nipples within his mouth. She was hoping that as soon as he would suck her breast, he would die. But baby Krishna very quickly took the nipples in anger. He sucked the milk poison along with the life air of the demon. In other words, Krishna simultaneously sucked the milk from her breast and killed her by sucking out her life. So in this way, Putana was killed by Krishna. Now who is Putana? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Putana is deception. Deception personified. Comes to protect Dharma, the Supreme Lord. Pretends that she is the mother who would take care of the Supreme Personality of God. But ultimately what she does? She comes with an intention to kill him. The agent of atheism, Kamsa, comes in the form of protector of religion in order to kill the Supreme Personality of God. Now don't we see that? Sometimes there are some people who pretend to be religious personality. But what do they say? Why are you worshipping God? God is here, God is there, God is everywhere. Why don't you see the God everywhere? There are so many such doctrines going on. The poverty-stricken God, Daridra Narayan. I am God, you are God. So why are you looking for God? So ultimately what they are doing, they come as religious persons. But what is their purpose? Their purpose is to kill the Supreme Personality of God. But can anybody kill God? No. All those people, those who came to preach all this, where is God? You are God, I am God. Everyone is God. Where are they? Those gods are dead. Although they came to kill God, God is still alive. Since time immemorial. But they are dead. So who are they? They are Putana. So after Putana, who did Krishna kill? Krishna killed a demon called Shakatasura. Mother Jashoda, that time Krishna, they were celebrating a festivity. They arranged. When Krishna grew up a little more, he began to turn himself backside up. He did not merely lie down on his back. And another function was observed by Jashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's first birthday. Krishna's birthday. Jashoda, they arranged for Krishna's birthday ceremony, which is still observed by all followers of the Vedic principles. All the cowherd men and women were invited to participate in the jubilant celebration. A nice band played, and the assembled people enjoyed it. All the learned brahmanas were invited, and they chanted Vedic hymns for the good fortune of Krishna. During the chanting of the Vedic hymns and playing of the bands, Krishna was bathed by Mother Yashoda. This bathing ceremony is technically called Abhishek. And even today, this is observed in all the temples of Vrindavan on Janmashtami day, or the birthday anniversary of Lord Krishna. On this occasion, Mother Yashoda arranged to distribute a large quantity of grain, and first-class cows decorated with golden ornaments were made ready to be given in charity to the learned, respectable brahmanas. Yashoda took her bath and dressed herself nicely, and taking child Krishna duly dressed and bathed on her lap, she sat down to hear the Vedic hymns chanted by the brahmanas. While Mother Yashoda was listening to the chanting of the Vedic hymns, the child appeared to be falling asleep. And therefore she very silently laid him down on the bed, being engaged in receiving all the friends and relatives and residents of Vrindavan on that holy occasion. She forgot to feed the child milk. He was crying, being hungry. But Mother Yashoda could not hear him cry because of the various noises. The child, however, became angry because he was hungry and his mother was not paying attention to him. So he lifted his legs and began to kick his lotus feet just like an ordinary child. Baby Krishna had been placed underneath a hand-driven cart, and while he was kicking his legs, he accidentally touched the wheel of the cart and it collapsed. Various kinds of utensils and dishes made of brass and other metals had been piled up in the hand cart, and they all fell down with a great noise. The wheel of the cart separated from the axle, and the spokes of the wheel were all broken and scattered hither and thither. Mother Yashoda and all the gopis, as well as Maharaj Nanda and the cowherd men, were astonished as to how the cart could have collapsed by itself. All the men and women who were assembled for the holy function crowded around and began to suggest how the cart might have collapsed. No one could ascertain the cause, but some small children who were entrusted to play with baby Krishna informed the crowd that it was due to Krishna striking his feet against the wheel. They assured the crowd that they had seen how it happened with their own eyes, and they strongly asserted the point. Some were listening to the statement of the small children, but others said, "How can you believe this statement of these children?" The cowherd men and women could not understand that the all-powerful personality of Godhead was lying there as a baby, and that he could do anything. Both the possible and impossible were in his power. So this is the difference between Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, everyone knows that Krishna is God. But in Vrindavan, even though they see some unusual act by him, still they cannot understand that he is God. So that is the difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. Now, are they in ignorance? No. They are under the spell of Jogamaya. It is due to Jogamaya that they forget that Krishna is God. So that's why when the children told that baby Krishna was just 1 year old playing, and when he is throwing his legs, his foot touched the wheel of the cart and the cart just smashed. And how it got smashed? The axles broke and the wheels got displaced, and all the spokes got scattered here and there. But actually, it was a demon who was hiding there. called Shakatasura. Shakatasura, Shakata means cart, the cart demon. And Krishna killed him just by kicking him. One kick and he was dead. And what is this Shakata? What does the cart do? Carry heavy burden. So this Shakatasura is the tendency to carry unnecessary burden. Shakatasura, the tendency to carry unnecessary burden. Okay, then came another demon. Who came after that? Who remembers? Srinavarta. Then came Srinavarta. What happened? Krishna was on the lap of Mother Yashoda. Just a little baby, 1 year old. In the lap of Mother Yashoda. And Krishna could, he is the omnipotent, omnipresent Supreme Lord. So he knew that this demon is coming. Krishna knew how this demon would act. He would come as a whirlwind. And as a whirlwind, it will come like a tornado. Have you seen a tornado? You don't see tornadoes in India. You can see tornadoes in America. What happens when there is a tornado? It takes up everything that comes on the way. It's a whirlwind. What happens? You see, if some tornado moves, and on the path whatever comes, like a building comes on the way, you know what will happen to the building? The building will be uprooted from the ground and will be taken up. So powerful. Somebody is driving the car and the tornado comes. The whole car is taken up and then dropped from there. So Krishna knew that this Trinavarta Sura, another agent of Kamsa, another ally of Kamsa, is now coming, trying to kill him. So what did Krishna do? Krishna first became worried. Oh, I am on the lap of my mother. And if this demon comes and he will take my mother also along with me, so she will be in danger. So Krishna became very heavy. And Mother Yashoda couldn't understand why the baby all of a sudden became so heavy. He became so heavy that he couldn't carry her anymore. So she just placed Krishna out of her lap on the ground. And then she went inside. Thinking that she thought that something has to be done. Maybe some milk is boiling on the fire. So she just went in. And in the meantime, this Trinavarta Sura came as a tornado. And what he did, he just picked up Krishna and went all high, high up in the sky. And before he came, or when he came, what happened? Trina avarta. Trina means the particles of grass. Grass particles, the dried grass particles. So when he came, when this demon came, these dust particles were flying everywhere. Not only Trina, not only dry grass, but pebbles, stones, everything was flying everywhere. Such a powerful storm. And it took Krishna up. And what did Krishna do? Although he assumed the form of a demon, the demon assumed the form of a tornado, but his form was still there. It was just expansion of his yoga siddhi. But he was there in that form, the form of the tornado, and he picked up Krishna and he thought that he'll take Krishna up high in the sky and then drop him and this baby will die. But what did Krishna do? Krishna just put his arm around his neck. Just like a baby, when somebody takes the baby on the lap, and especially when the baby is afraid, what does the baby do? Baby holds on to the person. So Krishna held on to Trinavarta, putting his arm around his neck. And then when as Trinavarta tried to drop him, Krishna's arm became tighter. He didn't want to go. He wanted to hold on to him. And the more the Trinavarta tried to drop Krishna, the tighter became Krishna's grip. And finally Krishna's grip around Trinavarta's neck became like a vice. You know, a vice, what happens? It becomes comes closer and closer, and finally it just squeezes it. And as a result of that, Trinavarta couldn't breathe. And he started, now he is desperately trying to get rid of the child. But he couldn't. His hand was holding onto his neck like a vice. Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his supreme power, can take care of any demon, no matter how powerful he may be. And eventually Trinavarta suffocated. He couldn't breathe. He was gasping for air. And he lost all his energy. And from that height, who fell? Trinavarta fell. And where did he fall? He fell on a stone. Big stone. And his body was completely smashed. And in the meantime, Mother Yashoda, when she came out, seeing that all of a sudden the cyclone came, the tornado came, and she came out to pick, she remembered, oh, I left Krishna there, let me pick him up and bring him inside. But when she came out, she found that the baby is not there anymore. Now her condition, at that time her condition, you can well imagine, like a mother who lost her child. She was wailing, she was crying. And she was looking everywhere, but she couldn't see anything. Because it, all the dust and dry grass and everything was flying everywhere. And she was crying, and everyone else also was looking for Krishna in the semi-darkness. But then all of a sudden they heard the sound of something very heavy crashing. The huge sound. They all ran. By the time the tornado also subsided. Because this tornado personifying was dead. And they found that this terrible huge demon, his dead body was lying there, and baby Krishna was just playing on his chest. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing what is this Trinavarta in our development of Krishna consciousness. This Trinavarta is argument personified. All kinds of arguments. Why become a devotee? Who is Krishna? Don't believe that there is Krishna. Don't you see? The scientists have created so many wonderful things. So these arguments that tries to kill Krishna is Trinavarta. Now after that there is a pastime when Krishna is stealing butter. Right? Now what is that butter? What does Krishna steal? Yes, Krishna is stealing butter. But what does actually Krishna steal? Krishna steals the heart. When does Krishna steal the heart? When the heart becomes soft and pure as butter. Then only Krishna steals those hearts. And at that time, Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna, the butter thief. And you know what happened? What Mother Yashoda went through? She went through so much struggle. She collected all the ropes in the world. Still she couldn't bind Krishna. But finally, Krishna was bound. And what was Krishna bound with? Was Krishna bound with mundane ropes? No. Krishna was bound by pure love. So, if you want to bind Krishna, if you want to capture Krishna, what should you do? You should bind him with love. That is the only thing that Krishna can be bound by. Okay, now I'll just quickly go through what Bhaktivinod Thakur had compared, or rather he presented. Remember the what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting? Is it some imaginary concept that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting? No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out that our hearts are Vrindavan. Right? Our hearts are Vrindavan. And in that Vrindavan, Krishna will appear. But when Krishna appears, these demons also will come to kill Krishna. So how to kill those demons? Can you kill those demons? Can you kill those demons? You think so? You're so powerful. They have all 8 yoga siddhis. How many do you have? So when you have a very strong enemy, how do you fight with him? By taking shelter of someone who is stronger than him. Right? So what should be our strategy? The demons are very strong. So how should we fight the demons? Get someone who is stronger. So who are you going to call? George Bush? Or Carter? Who are you going to call? Who are you going to take shelter of? Krishna. So Krishna, you are cultivating Krishna in your heart, and let Krishna deal with them. Let Krishna deal with them. So I'll quickly go through the other aspects of Krishna's pastimes that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained. As here we are saying, Mother Jashoda, who is Mother Jashoda? Mother Jashoda is joy personified. Joy. Ecstasy. Then, Krishna, you know what happened? Mother Jashoda tied Krishna up with a mortar. Then what did Krishna do? Then Krishna, Krishna was roaming, crawling on the courtyard. On the courtyard of Nanda, there were 2 Arjuna trees. And what happened? That mortar got stuck between those 2 Arjuna trees. And Krishna pulled, and as a result of that, both the trees got uprooted. And then from there came out 2 demigods, 2 sons of Kubera, Nala Kuber and Manigrih. Now through that pastime, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that we learn the bad effects of bad association and good effects of good association. They were demigods, but because of bad association, what happened? They became inert trees. Demigods, such exalted personalities, but they became trees. So be very careful with whom you associate. You go to bad association, the result will be like this. And if you get into good association, then what will happen? Even though you may be inert as a tree, you'll be delivered. So what lesson did you learn from this? Associate with the bad people? Then who will you associate with? Associate with the devotees. If you associate with the devotees, then very easily you will become delivered from this material bondage. Then came a demon called Vatsasura. Vatsasura came, another agent of Kamsa, who came as a calf demon. A calf. Now, who is this calf demon? This calf demon is childish defects in us. Then came Vakasura. Vaka means a bird, crane, right? A crane, what does the crane do? Have you seen crane? Baka? It stands in the water, right, on one leg. And it appears that it's meditating. It doesn't move. Still, completely standing on one leg. It's meditating, but what is it meditating on? Fish. Right? It pretends to be very pious. It looks like a swan, right? And it acts like even better than a swan. The swans move around, swans don't meditate. But he's meditating, that also standing on one leg, like Hiranyakashipu. But what is his purpose? Let Krishna come and I'll swallow. And he did that, tried to swallow Krishna. But what did Krishna do? Krishna just ripped open, it's too big, killed him. So, Vatsasura and Bakasura. Bakasura is religious pretension, to pretend to be a religious person. Don't we use the expression bok dharmik? Religious as a crane. That's a Bengali expression. Appears to be very dharmic, very religious person. But what is the ultimate objective? What does he want? He wants to kill Krishna. Then Aghasura is personified cruelty. And then after killing Aghasura, what did Krishna do? Krishna had a picnic with his friends on the bank of Jamuna. And what is that signifying, symbolizing? That is signifying simplicity. Then Krishna went with Balaram and the other friends while they were tending the cows in the forest. They came to the Tal forest and they wanted to have, the Krishna's friends wanted to have the Tal fruit that were ripe in the tree. And this Tal forest was being protected by, who was protecting? Dhenukasura. And who is Dhenukasura? Dhenukasura, Dhenuka means donkey. What is a donkey famous for? We say he is an ass, isn't it? What is an ass? Ass is stupidity. Stupid as an ass. Gardhavasura. So Dhenukasura is personified stupidity. And this Dhenukasura was not killed by Krishna, but by Balaram. So who destroys our stupidity demon? The Balaram. Who is the representative of Balaram? The spiritual master. So Krishna killed most of the demon, excepting Dhenukasura and Pralambasura. Those two demons are killed by Balaram. Those two demons are killed by spiritual master. Then Kaliya subdued. Who is Kaliya? Kaliya is wickedness. Wickedness. Then conflict among Vaishnavas is the forest fire. To protect Vrindavan, what did Krishna do?
He himself swallowed that forest fire. So if there is conflict among Vaishnavas, pray to Krishna that he swallows that forest fire. Otherwise that forest fire may burn Vrindavan, the society of devotees. Then Pralambasura. Pralambasura is voidism and impersonalism. So this voidism and impersonalism, what does it do? Voidism and impersonalism tries to kill the living entity's identity. He came to kill not Krishna, he came to kill Balaram. So what does impersonalism and voidism do? It destroys the soul. We are not living entities anymore. Out of matter we came, and in matter we'll merge. So that is no identification, no acceptance of the spirit soul. Killer of the pure identity, killer of the pure identity of the soul. So, in last 2 days, today you know how many chapters we covered? Only one chapter, fourth chapter. So tomorrow is the only day left. Anyway, so try to understand these points, meditate on them, and try to become a very good devotee. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Madhavendra. Yeah, because Balaram is Vishnu Tattva, but Balaram is representing the jivas. All the jivas come from Balaram. Therefore, Balaram is representing the jiva tattva.
Maharaj, you said Yashoda Maiya, you know, she was trying to tie Krishna, and you know, she was shot by two triangulum. Is that two fingers represent something in Balaram?
Two fingers, I don't know. Two or four? Four fingers.
Two. She was short like two inches.
2 inches.
Yeah.
2 inches is four fingers.
I think it's in the mention that 2 fingers she was short by. Okay.
Whatever. Any other question? Yeah. Take the mic so that everybody can hear. All these demons were demons.
They were just born demons.
Well, actually there is another book, maybe someday I'll try to explain that, called Brihat Saravali. In that book it is describing how these demons became demons. In their previous lives they were different personalities, and not really that bad demons. But you know, like how they became demons. Like as I mentioned, like Vrindavali became Putana. And some Gandharva became Trinavarta. They're mostly Gandharvas and demigods actually. But they got a chance to take part in Krishna's pastime. Yes.
Is there any
significance for this demonstration in the form of some animals? Almost all the demonstration is in animal shape.
They took the shapes of different animals. They thought that that would be the way to hide their identity and kill Krishna. Not working? Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. But there is a difference, you see. Actually, the difference is that this is coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not speculating. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking this from different scriptures. So, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken everything from the six Goswamis. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is identified as the seventh Goswami. Yes, that point is very good, that we should not speculate. But is this speculation? No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur obviously is not speculating. Like, where is the source of their understanding? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's understanding has a source from the scripture. But five Pandavas, another thing is, the five Pandavas may not be the five senses, but there is this analogy that five senses has been compared to the horses. The mind has been compared to the rein. The body is the chariot, of which five senses are the horses, mind is the rein, and intelligence is the chariot driver. And the soul is the person sitting on the chariot. Yes, Radharani? Mahamaya, that came as the sister of Krishna. Yeah, Mahamaya is the Maya who is the arrangement of the Lord that warns the atheistic principle that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to destroy him. And this is also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed that daughter is Maya herself, who comes to deliver the living entity and bewilder the demon. Yes, you have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you have a question or just a comment?
Your view on
our view of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the sound incarnation of the Lord in this age. Krishna has incarnated as this mantra. So this mantra is non-different from Krishna himself. Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna himself. And in this way, very easily we can get the association of the Lord just by chanting His holy name. In this way, we can surrender unto Him very easily by chanting His holy name. And when we chant the holy name, we get all the protection of the Lord. And this is the Yuga Dharma. The Yuga Dharma for this age is to chant the holy name of the Lord. And it has been described in Shikshashtakam, Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smaranena Kala Etadrishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrisham Ihajaninanurada. Nam Nam Akari Bahudha, my Lord, in your innumerable names, Nija Sarva Shakti, you have invested your entire potency, Tatrarpita. And Niyamita Smarane Nakala, one can chant this name anytime, anywhere, without any restriction of rules and regulations. So that is the mercy manifestation of the Lord in this age. In this age, we don't even have to go to the temple. We don't have to go to any place of pilgrimage. Even staying where we are, we can simply chant this name of the Lord and derive ultimate spiritual benefit. So that is the advantage, or that is the mercy of the Lord in this age.
Thank you very much. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada.